Who wouldn't like to take some of that beautiful sunshine and bottle it up for a rainy day? This week, I'm talking to Jason Edens, a man with a mission to do just that. Jason's company, Real, sees solar energy not just as the way of the future, but as a social change agent. Jason's parents were, in his words, nomadic. They moved around a lot, but most summers led them back to the North Woods, where his grandparents had a cabin.
Well, let's see. I studied to become a high school social studies teacher in undergrad. And then I spent many years abroad. And when I was abroad, I had the pleasure of meeting my wife. And she and I got married abroad without meeting each other's families, much to their chagrin. And so when she and I came back to the States, we immediately came here to northern Minnesota. And then while we were here, we just fell in love with the place and put down roots. So
when he and his wife, BJ, first settled down in northern Minnesota, he had his first taste of what was to become his life's work, working to resolve energy poverty.
So part of the reason that I started Real is because I was personally grappling with energy poverty, like 40 million other Americans each and every heating season. And so I turned to my local community action agency that delivers energy assistance and weatherization. I requested if there was an opportunity to get a no or a low interest loan so I could purchase a solar energy system to meet my own energy needs so I wouldn't be dependent on energy assistance. And the community action agency said no. And I said, oh. And so serendipitously, this is really remarkable. Shortly after that conversation, I caught wind of a solar energy system that was literally being torn off of a home as it was changing hands in St. Paul. And so I literally buzzed down there, threw it in the back of our truck, and that was the first solar energy system we ever installed. And it saved us enough money that we literally did not need energy assistance any longer. And so that was kind of the aha moment, if you will. You know, if this can work for our family in northern Minnesota, then potentially it represents a new, clean form of energy assistance.
Jason discovered that after the energy tax credits of the Carter era, a lot of solar companies had died, and that there was inventory cached all around the country. He could buy this equipment for pennies on the dollar. That was the start of Real. Now, Real is an anagram for Rural Renewable Energy Alliance.
Energy poverty is something that is actually experienced by 1 in 8 Americans. You know, it's a social ill that very few people are aware of. You know, unless you're living in it or unless you work for an organization that fights against it, very few people know about energy poverty. But essentially, when families have to choose between home energy and other basic needs, a family is living in energy poverty.
Although I was not familiar with the term energy poverty, I was personally familiar with what it means not to have enough money to pay the electric or heating bills. I had had some of those moments in my early years.
We actually spend somewhere between $3 and $5 billion every year putting a Band-Aid on a wound that really needs a tourniquet. So we're literally just hemorrhaging public resources without providing a long-term solution and without actually empowering the families that are grappling with energy poverty. And so what we're trying to encourage is the use of clean energy to permanently address low-income energy poverty in a way that's both environmentally appropriate and fiscally responsible.
Real began by designing a thermal solar heater that heats the air coming into the house on any sunny day. Jason still loves the solar heater, but the current push is for photovoltaics, those bluish panels designed to take what the sun has to offer and turn it into electricity. You're listening to The Call of the Wild. This week, I'm talking to Jason Edens from Real, located in rural Bacchus. Real is starting to create community solar arrays that put control of the costs of electricity back in the hands of ordinary people, particularly in low-income areas. Here's how it works. Not every single house has solar panels. Not every house is positioned ideally to collect the sun. So a community builds an array of solar panels that are hooked into the electrical grid.
We actually just did this with Leech Lake, and we're at the first phase of the nation's first community solar project that's formally integrated into energy assistance. It's never been done before, and we just finished the first phase of a 200 kilowatt community solar project on Leech Lake.
What impresses me about the goals and mission of REAL is that they have a practical and obtainable way to help people who are struggling.
You know, we've worked with a lot of families where not only have we reduced their energy bills, but we've elevated a sense of pride because now families have the means on their own home to generate that energy.
What REAL creates with their nonprofit and for-profit companies is sunny days for lots of low-income families.
The peace of mind of knowing that their energy bills will be paid for, which means kids can study, which means that our elders are safe and warm, which means that homes are going to be intact and safe, etc. So there's no doubt that there's huge value to energy assistance, but what we're asking is there a better way? And we think so. And so using a combination of solar heating technologies and solar electric technologies, we feel that we can provide the exact same service, but we can do it in a more innovative and responsible way.
BJ, Jason's wife, is the electrical engineer on site.
She's actually, right now, she's developing a solar microgrid for a hospital in Liberia. And so this winter, we're going to be deploying a solar microgrid for a hospital in West Africa. It was actually the first hospital in Liberia to see a case of Ebola.
After hearing all this, I couldn't help but wonder what it was that made Jason really want to do what he does.
You know, I feel as if it's just part of my DNA, the environmental ethos, like it is with so many people. I'm not really able to trace the origin of that. Perhaps it was my folks, perhaps it was, I'm not entirely sure, but I've just always grown up with a really deep appreciation for all of my fellow living things.
With the Call of the Wild, I'm Milt Lee.